So, good day everyone. We're here for another episode of the DVD show. So, for today we have a new women's basketball player and also Gilas Pilipinas basketball player, especially now that she played in the recently concluded FIBA Asia Cup. So, I'll now welcome here on the DVD show Camille Clarin. Thank you for joining me here on the podcast.
Hello, happy to be here.
Thank you again, Camille, for joining me on the pod. And yeah, you said this is like a first week in a long time that you had a break after preparing for the FIBA Asia Cup, and you had like UAAP, SEA Games and everything. So how's the break been like for you? Like, what have you been doing, trying to, you know, relax and go out of the court first?
Sleeping and eating, honestly. I just arrived yesterday and I think I ate like double the amount I would eat in like one regular day when I was abroad in Australia. So for this whole week, I'm just checking out, no basketball, nothing, just relaxing.
How many months straight were you like playing basketball?
Well, UAP ended in December. I went home. And then starting February, we started for SEA Games training. And then there was really no break after that. We went to FIBA training. And at the same time, there was NU during all of that. So nonstop since February, I think.
Yeah, that's a long time. So yeah, talking about the FIBA Asia Cup, you mentioned it already that you just got home. So how was the tournament like for you guys? I mean, the win against Chinese Taipei was a huge one. And yeah, because before, like, we're never like in the higher division, because just like in the women's basketball, there's like divisions, not like in, I don't know if it's like that in men's, but then in women's it's different. And now we're like in the top tier and we could compete with them. You almost beat New Zealand. So how was the whole experience for you playing against like top tier Asian competition?
Definitely the start was grueling. I mean, we already knew who we were up against. We've played Australia in the last tournament. And yeah, it was everything we expected and more. They're so big, so there's really no way around it. Like, they're big and they hit all of their threes against us. So it was kind of a rude awakening, but we already knew that coming into this tournament because these teams are the best in Asia. So after that, who did we play?
Japan.
Australia. Yeah. Okay. So Japan, defending champions, lost for the first time this year. We knew, honestly, I was more scared of Japan than I was of Australia, because Japan plays like they're just having so much fun, but they destroy you with such ease. It's insane. But those two games, I think we lost by almost combined 100 plus points. But going into that Chinese Taipei game, we knew like we had a good chance. This is always the team we kind of look forward to playing because we do have similar styles of play. There's like a long history of top teams in the Philippines going to training camps in Taiwan. And there's always been a good relationship between those two teams. So I don't know. It was just good energy going into that game. I think although we were down so much the first two games, we knew that like this is if there was a chance for us to finally break through in this FIBA Asia Cup, it was that game. And it all happened in our favor, thankfully.
Yeah, but talking about the first two games, you mentioned that Australia and Japan, like, you want to learn from them, and they're one of the most, they're the best teams here in Asia. So, like, how do you explain, like, their style? Like, why do you think it's effective? Aside from, like, the height or, like, the stuff that you can't really change, but more of, like, their plays or their schemes. Like, what makes it impressive that we could, like, emulate or other countries could emulate?
I'll talk about Japan more because really with Australia it's like bully ball and everyone can just shoot. So with Japan, the way that they move the ball, the way that as soon as you give them a little inch of space, like they'll shoot it, the way that they just play together is insane. I don't know, I feel like everyone on that team is so skilled, so efficient. The way that they move, you wouldn't think that they get tired. Like, honestly, all of them could probably each play 40 minutes a whole game and still be smiling at the end of it. Like, I think it just goes to show that, like, their grassroots program is ridiculous because it feels like they never run out of good players. Like, no matter who retires, there's still new ones to come up and join the force. But I think the way that they move the ball and the way that they shoot so efficiently, I feel like that's something we need to emulate, especially in the Philippines, because they really didn't have that big of a height difference against us. I think they were one of the teams that we were actually evenly matched with in terms of height. But on the court, it just didn't feel like it. Like, the way that they pushed the ball, and their defense is crazy. It's like they love to play defense.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, the way that they're in your face, you would think it's like a hand check, but it's not, because every time they touch you, they open up. It's, I don't know how they do it. It's just everything that they do is so amazing to watch, and you'll only realize once you're actually playing against them.
Yeah, but since you mentioned that, you know, we could be like them in the future, how do you think that the country, like Philippines, like the grassroots program and the development that you mentioned, do you think that we could attain something close to what Japan did if we focus well on how we build our women's basketball program?
I mean, it definitely is possible. I'm not going to say it's impossible, but I'm sure it takes a lot of effort and a lot of funding that definitely goes into that, because even just the team of Japan, they have someone for everything, someone for laundry, someone for plays, someone for strength and conditioning, someone for stretching. Yeah. Like, they have a whole team just dedicated to the players. And I think that here in the Philippines, it's not like that. You're definitely like giving multiple jobs to one person, even though there may not be their specialty. And I think their player development is definitely something we need to work on here in the Philippines. Of course, their players there, I feel like they're professional athletes. Like, that's their life. That's what they dedicate all their time to, because there's professional leagues there. And that's what majority of them do in their off season or once they're done with FIBA. But here it's like, for us, it's like we have FIBA and then we're off for another 2 years until the next tournaments. So I think if we were able to have something to look forward to, maybe more training camps, more skills developments, I feel like it would make the margin a little bit closer.
Yeah, yeah. Hopefully, I mean, it's a great stepping stone that we're already doing well in 5-on-5 and 3-on-3. But yeah, I want to talk about you mentioned the Chinese Taipei game, and for any team, it would be difficult. Like, if you got blown out in your first two games, like, why would you still have like the motivation to play the third game? Maybe it's like non-bearing anymore, or you just don't have confidence because you lost twice already. But for you guys, like with Coach Pat and the rest of the squad, like the leaders, like how did they continue for you guys to have that hunger and still try to get that elusive win against Chinese Taipei?
Well, they described that game as the biggest game of your lives. That's what they called it before trainings, during trainings, right before tip-off. It was a chance for us to finally not go to a relegation game. We always wait for it at the end of the... we always wait for... we play the pool games knowing that we're not going to be able to beat any of those teams there. But in this chance, we knew we had a chance. Last 2021, we thought we had a chance, and then we got blown out by 30-plus or something. Mm-hmm. But this game, it all just kind of worked in our favor. We knew that we got blown out, but at the same time, we saw that Lebanon was also a really tough competitor. So we honestly didn't want to go to the relegation game, because it was going to be difficult to have a win. Unlike when we were going up against India, we felt like we could really take that game. But against Chinese Taipei, it was just everybody wanted it. You could feel like from the warm-up, everyone was in it on the same page. And I think it all just clicked once we got into the court.
Is that how it works? Like, if you lost that game, you could get relegated. Like, how's the format for
FIBA Asia? So you guys have pool play. So there's two different groups. And then you each play three games. And then the number one seed goes through to the semifinals.
Yeah.
And then number two and three will play against each other opposite. So number two of our group played against number three of the other pool, and then vice versa. And then the two bottom teams of those pools will have to play against each other in a relegation game. So once those two play against each other, the loser will move down to Division B.
Okay. And then Division B winner, will they go up? Like,
we'll go up. So last year, Lebanon won. And India lost, so they switched.
Okay. So yeah, but yeah, going up against Chinese Taipei, I didn't get to watch the whole game, but then parts of it, you guys were terrific on both ends. But for you, what do you think you were able to bring like for the following games? Like you guys, like I don't know if there you saw the spread, like New Zealand was like ahead by like 21 and like the betting stuff, but then you guys only lost by 5. So people saw you guys as major underdogs. So for sure you brought something from that Chinese Taipei game. So what were the offensive schemes or defensive plays that you guys really brought to the next games?
To New Zealand?
Yeah, to the following games after Chinese Taipei.
Yeah. Basically, we brought the mentality, first of all, that we can do it. Like, we felt what it felt like to win. And so, moving forward, we knew that it wasn't impossible anymore. But I guess against New Zealand, we knew that they were almost similar sizes to Australia. So we wanted to do what we do best, was push the ball, get the ball moving. But honestly, it was really just two players on New Zealand that killed us. It was like just two people who had both. One had 34 points, one had 25, something like that. So I think we put an emphasis on kind of playing team defense, but we definitely could have adjusted to focused, hone in more on that one girl because she just destroyed us. I feel like anything we threw at her, she could adjust. So kudos to her. She's really good. But yeah, offensively, I think we kind of just wanted to keep our flow, move the ball a lot more, get the ball inside and out, get their big man in foul trouble. We did a really good job on her, I think, in the first half, first three quarters, actually. She didn't contribute as much as she normally did in the past few games, but once she got like more involved, like it was a lot harder to guard her.
So. Yeah, playing against a team like New Zealand, and yeah, you're getting to learn a lot of experience. But then I'm not sure like what the next tournament is. So how do you guys, you know, sustain this kind of like chemistry that you guys had, this energy, that the hunger you guys had to like play in this tournament? Because I'm not sure when you guys will like meet us again as a team, like some national teams, it takes them like months before you guys train again for whatever tournament. So yeah, how do you think like Coach Pat and the rest of the coaching staff can continue like building off this tournament?
I think maybe having another set of practices, let's say, like it doesn't have to be every week the way that we trained before, but maybe like 3 times a week or something. I know that the team will have 2 upcoming tournaments, maybe a training camp in Jordan in a couple of weeks, and then Jones Cup in August. But a lot of the players who are from FIBA Asia Cup have not decided yet if they're going to be joining those tournaments, especially us UAP players. It's getting too close to our schedule, so we won't be a part of those tournaments. But I think, yeah, it's too long of a break, the 2 years, to go off completely. Like, that's what usually happens, like after SEA Games in 2022. It was a less of a break because it was only 1 year back-to-back. But this time, the next tournament we have will be 2025, like the ones that are SEA Games or FIBA. So, yeah, I think just doing stuff as a team that doesn't even have to be basketball, honestly, like team building stuff, going on vacation together, just keeping that core together is a big difference. Because if you've seen other SEA Games teams, they have tournaments throughout the years. They train consistently every year. So I think we need to adapt that same mentality, just because training 2-3 months before, it's not, I don't agree with that. I think it's definitely difficult to get that kind of chemistry that quick.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but yeah, how about you personally? You mentioned that you're still going to play in the, you're still, yeah, not done with your UAAP playing years, and playing in like international competition gives you an edge over your opponents in the UAAP. So what do you think is your like advantage over these people that you've been playing internationally for a couple of years now compared to like, yeah, your opponents? So, well, what gives you that edge over them, and how do you continuously like utilize it at the collegiate stage?
I think just being able to play against such good players, you're forced to really bring your best effort every time you step on the court, and just learning from the way that they play as well. like little things, the way that they move the ball, the way that they cut, like those little things make a big difference to the game here in the Philippines, especially because there's so many different ways to play basketball. And I think that we've only touched the surface here in the Philippines, and we could be so much better. So having more and more college players, younger players going internationally, I think is really going to help the Filipino scene of basketball get better. I think personally, more of the experience, this just goes to show that there's so much I personally need to work on to be better here, because my role in FIBA is much different from my role in NU. So learning from my just even from my teammates, how to be that person for NU the way that they are for FIBA, I think that's the experience that I always love to take away. And that's why I always love playing for Gilas, because of my teammates, like just learning from them, because they've been through UF. You know, they've been through having to go through the grueling schedules and having to play against teams that may not be as competitive as NU, but still want it just as much. It's just a good experience to learn from people who've been there already.
Yeah, and you're talking about like experiences and you learning from experiences. It's good to go back for my guests. I always ask them about their like childhood and upbringing and how you fell in love with basketball and how you're able to be successful now for NU and the national team. So yeah, I'm not sure if it's correct, but I saw on the internet that you were born here in the Philippines, but then you grew up in Canada. Not sure.
That's not wrong. Sure if that's... I don't know about that, but that's wrong. Okay. So I was born and raised in Canada. Up until high school, I lived there. From high school, I moved to the States for boarding school. All 4 years, I went to boarding school. And then I decided to go to the Philippines for college. Yeah, that's the
Okay. So yeah, whatever I saw before this episode was wrong. But yeah talking about
I've
that.
I've seen that too.
Okay. So yeah, talking about that. Yeah, growing up in Canada, how was like the basketball culture there? I mean, like I know there are NBA players like Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, like Andrew Wiggins from Canada, but like comparing it to like the Philippines or the US, how's basketball different there? Like, was basketball like your priority when you were a childhood, or were there other sports, since like Canada's known for other sports as well, that you were into when you were that age?
At first it wasn't a priority. I actually, being a Canadian, I went into figure skating. That was my first sport. Yeah. So yeah, figure skating was a big part of my life for like 3-4 years, and then I got burnt out, so I quit. I did like little sports in between, like swimming, golf, volleyball, but nothing stuck until I decided to play basketball, because my sister and my dad were always involved in basketball. Like the Filipino basketball community in Canada is insane. Like the way it is here, it's the same in Philippines, just I guess on a smaller, it's the same in Canada, just on a smaller scale. But if you know the right people and you're always in the community, it feels like it takes over your life. So once I was around 10, 11, that's when it just like took over my life. Like it was basketball, everything, basketball summers, winters, you travel to the States, everywhere. But the thing is, it wasn't hard to find basketball the way that it is here. Like as a girl, I did start playing with boys first when I was younger, just because there wasn't enough girls teams. But then like 2 years after, there were so many programs, you would compete against hundreds of different girls from Canada. And like some of those girls I'm still friends with till now, they're also still playing basketball like all over the world. So just goes to show like the community starts when you're younger, but it definitely doesn't go away no matter where you go.
Yeah. Yeah. Talking about the community, like do you guys play in like leagues? That's how do you make sure that like the players there like develop, and like you developing now, being an integral part of the Philippine basketball program, like how's the community there, like what are the activities you guys do, how do you make sure there's like growth for the players?
Like every city, the way that it is here, every city has a rep team, so you can go to different cities and try out for different rep teams, and those compete in a league in the province. So like my province is Ontario, so we all have a league where there's different levels, there's divisions that go all the way into like division 8. So imagine you have 12 15 plus teams, yeah, times 8 divisions, like yeah, over hundreds of teams playing. So then from there, you also have summer teams, AAU teams. Mm-hmm. So the best of the best of those divisions go into one team or maybe like four or five teams that represent Canada, and then they go and play against teams in the States.
Oh,
and
okay.
Then from there, there's also provincial teams. So the best of the 12, I don't even know how many provinces and territories are in Canada anymore, but the best from those compete to be like the champion of Canada. So then it just goes to show there's so many different divisions, so many different levels of play. So as long as you're willing to put in the work, and there's always camps everywhere that are accessible to almost everyone. Like if you're willing, everything's there for you. You just have to go and grab it.
Okay. Yeah, but you're playing in these camps and having the opportunity to have a lot of opportunity in, you know, honing your skills. Like, how would you describe like your style? Like, how do you make sure that you're like effective or you're still different from these players? Like, how do you stand out from the competitors you have being in this camp? And yeah, you leaving a mark in your school there or your club there?
I think ever since, I've always just been like a natural leader on the court. So like little things like being the first in line, being willing to like demonstrate the drills, always listening to the coaches, kind of like putting in that extra effort to be like, I'm here, like, you know, I want to be better, like I will show you that I'm gonna be better. I think that's like usually my advice when I talk to like some of the girls here. It's like, you can't be afraid that like whenever you're in a big group of people, because you have to stand out some way. Like, no one's gonna go reach out to you personally. Like, it's up to you to put your foot down and step out and be someone special, because there's so many different players. You're gonna play against hundreds of different players, so hundreds, thousands, honestly. It's like, what's gonna make you stand out compared to all these other players? So that's for you to find out, because you have to be comfortable with it as well. Like, some people, you don't have to be the vocal leader like that. Like, that was my thing, because there's always girls who are better than me.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I'm willing to speak. I'm willing to ask questions, stuff like that. So those little things make a big difference.
Yeah, but yeah, being like a leader at that age, and yes, that's like, yes, you could say like made you stand out. But at what age or at what juncture of your like teenager, young adult life did you feel that you could really pursue basketball at like a more serious level? Because some people just join the camps and they enjoy it, but then when it's like college already or when it's the latter part of high school, they just decide to do something else.
I think probably the last year of elementary going into high school. Mm-hmm. I had been playing a lot for like the provincial teams, and then going into AAU, which is the summer leagues in the States. And then like I had the chance to either kind of stay in Canada and play for my local high school, which was just like not good at basketball, like just for school strictly, like where all my friends would go. But I felt like it was kind of like cheating myself out of what I thought I could do. So like I just took the risk and moved to Florida, I think, where I knew nobody. I just had the opportunity to play basketball against people who were so good. Like the States definitely has more competitive players and more chances for you to go somewhere where you want to. So I think that taking that risk was definitely like the start of me telling myself, like, this is going to be a long journey ahead, but like if you're willing to take that opportunity, to take that risk, like things will fall into place.
Oh, okay. Yeah, so being able to play in Florida, and I think that's what I saw also online, that you were able to play there. I wanted to also know that you be playing in an all-boys league that you mentioned earlier. Like, how did that help you? Like, were you intimidated, frightened at first? Did it help you being able to play in more serious league, like the one in the United States? Like, how did that propel you to like be more confident or be more like trusting in yourself that you were able to play in an all-boys league and you survived and competed with them?
Yeah, so this all-boys league was a Filipino league, and a lot of those people that I played against are still my friends till now, still support me in basketball and everything. So it was a great start for my basketball career, but I feel like going against guys, especially at a young age, like, of course they think like, oh, this is so weird. Like, why is there a girl playing here? Like, they wouldn't want to pass you the ball and stuff. So I really had to like earn my way in the league, even with my teammates, I had to earn my way through, earn my respect, and earn their trust. I think working to show them that, like, I don't, just because I'm a girl, it doesn't mean I can't do the things that you guys are doing. And I think they realized that once they got me involved and allowed me to play the way I play, like, oh, she can actually help. So I think that as much as it was help for me, I think it was even a big help for them to realize that, like, oh, like, girls and boys, like, it doesn't matter. Like, everyone deserves a spot as long as you work hard, as long as you prove yourself. So I think that being able to prove myself at, like, such a young age and, like, a really weirdly defining age of puberty for girls and boys, it's just, like, I think that they realized for me as well that, like, I have a spot wherever I can, as long as I'm willing to earn it.
Okay. Yeah, so I'm pretty sure it helped you a ton, like, yeah, for your next, like, ventures in basketball. But how many years did you play, like, in the U.S. before you decided to play, like, here in the Philippines? Like, was that, like, 4 years?
Mm-hmm. 4 years high school.
Okay, so how was that experience, and why did you decide to eventually play in the Philippines? I mean, if you're, like, the other side of the world, I mean, you do have Filipino blood, but then you're on the other side of the world, and, like, it's more like higher level of competition.
Yeah.
And you were succeeding, you said, in Canada and in the US. So how was that experience, and why did you suddenly also change and play here in the Philippines?
Yeah, so I tore my ACL midway through my high school career. So in terms of recruiting the schools that I wanted to go to, I didn't get any offers from them. So although life seemed like it was good, like, this like injury was definitely like a big lull and kind of changed the trajectory of where I thought I was going to end up after going to these high schools. It's like, my idea was, I get to go to these high schools so I can get the exposure to go to the schools that I want to. But I got the exposure, but I was injured and I couldn't do anything about it. So it just happened that there was an opportunity to play for Gilas in the summer. So because I was still undecided about where I was going, I was like, okay, let me just play for them. So then once I played for that, I was also in contact with coaches here in the Philippines. So then NU had made the offer that if I wanted to try it out for 1 year, like, there's nothing to lose, really, because to pay for school in the States is super, super expensive. So I just had to decide, like, if I wanted to try it out, like, nothing to lose, try it out for 1 year here. If I like it, I can stay. Just life didn't turn out the way I wanted it to be. So a backup option came and it ended up being the best options.
Are you, like, Phil-Canadian or, like, Filipino? Like, what's, like, your lineage?
Yeah, well, technically I'm Phil-Canadian just because I was born there, but I'm full Filipino. Both of my parents are full Filipino.
Okay. Because, yeah, it says, like, you're Phil-Canadian, like, in the articles. Like, it makes it sound like you have Canadian blood.
Yeah, I guess just because I was born there, technically, that's what it means.
Okay. Yeah, but, yeah, talking about, like, these hurdles that you endured, like, you had a vision that you wanted to possibly play collegiate ball in the States, and then it took a drastic turn. Like, how did you, like, keep yourself, like, level-headed and guarded that you to make the proper decision-making? Like, did you have, like, friends, or did you have, like, your family? I have some articles that you're close to, like, your family. Like, they went to one of the Gilas games abroad, and they even watched your game in NU against USD, I think, in the latest season. And, like, so you have, I think you have a strong, like, support system. So during those tough times when you were younger, you weren't, like, 18 yet, like, How difficult was that, and how did they help you get over it?
I think support system is the biggest. Like, since I was in boarding school and I was, like, a teenager, you know, I wasn't that close with my family. They would always make the effort, though, to go wherever I was to watch my games. Like, so I would always see them. It was never that difficult to be away from them for too much, but I think that really finding comfort and trust in my teammates and my roommates, because at boarding school, that's who you live with you every single day, how many months out of the year. So I got really close with a lot of people there, and they definitely helped me through all of everything that I went through, even, like, up until making decisions about where I should go to college. Without them, yeah, for sure, like, I would not have kept sane, especially during my injury. I think that's something that a lot of people forget, like having a good group of friends, and a good people around you, like that makes the world of a difference.
Yeah, did they also help in like giving you, like you'd say, in a like a backup option to play here in NU in the Philippines compared to the States? Did they also help tell you like the positives or like why did you also go here? Like they give you guidance on that?
Yeah, of course. Like my coach from high school is like one of my best friends. Till this day, like I still think he's like one of the best people I've ever met. He like mm-hmm. really helped me through it, giving me the options of as many schools as he could possibly give me, like just so that I had the option. But once I really like talked it through with certain people, it was kind of clear that I was risking more on a place that I necessarily didn't want to go to if I stayed in the States. It was kind of just like bailing out on the whole basketball career thing. Whereas if I could go to the Philippines, like I really had a chance to be someone special and like do something different. It might not have been the most competitive league, but like going there, I could play for my country at the same time. So there was just a lot going for them, the Philippines option compared to the US option.
Yeah. So yeah, talking about your Philippines stint, I want to know the story. Like, how did you decide like to go here? Like, did you fly here alone? Like, how was it? Was it your first time here in the Philippines when you got here? Did you get culture shock? Like, yeah, what was the story and how did you get acclimated to the whole country?
Yeah, so I come to the Philippines like almost every other year before okay. comes the Philippines. So I'd always been here. Like it was nothing really new to me, but of course living here was definitely a big adjustment. It was good that I was roommates with Kelly Hayes and Jack Animum. Both of them would definitely make me feel like at home. Like I didn't feel like I was like with strangers who I didn't know. They made the transition really easy. Like we were a good trio. Like we would always eat good food, whatever. Honestly, the adjustment wasn't that big. Like I thought it would be a lot bigger, but I feel like I wasn't expecting much. And I think that's mm-hmm. what made it easier, because I feel like once you expect, of course, coming from schools like in the Northeast where everything is provided for you, you're surrounded by so many rich people, like it could have been a culture shock, but I think I was going into it with an open mind and like not expecting anything at all. So that definitely made it easier.
Yeah. So what would you say was something vastly different for you? Like, yeah, you talked about the, like, yeah, so many rich people, everything provided for you. But other than that, like, was the weather difficult? Was the traffic? Was the community? Or are you like, do you interact with people where, well, like whatever their upbringing is or whatever their ways are? So, and that aspect, like off the court first, like was there anything different for you?
Those first two things, for sure. Okay. Like I hate the heat. I think even till now, it's still something I cannot adjust to. Like I love the snow. I love cold weather. So the biggest no-no for me is definitely how hot it gets. And then second, yeah, is traffic. Like, you would think you can get, like in Canada, you can get multiple things done in one day. You can drive 30, 40 kilometers all over the place and be done in like 2 hours. But here it'll take you 2 hours to drive 10 kilometers. Like stuff like that is just like so inconvenient for me. But I guess at the same time, it just makes you prioritize like what you want to do. Mm-hmm. And then I think that's really the big difference, because like when it comes to food, like I would just order whatever I needed to order. Because mm-hmm. I don't know how to cook, so was like the big, yeah. Even like when I'm home in Canada, I always order food, so that was pretty much similar. But yeah, just the heat and the traffic were definitely my biggest red flags for the Philippines.
Yeah, but how about talking about the basketball side? Like you mentioned a lot of stories already about playing with all guys, playing in various camps and going against the other provinces. But playing here in the Philippines, like what is vastly different from Canada or US basketball in terms of what physicality, the style? Like, did you get surprised? Or I think you adjusted well because you were rookie of the year right away. But yeah, what are your experiences?
I wasn't. Ken Jane was. But,
Okay.
I think that style of play definitely more physical. Like, they're very aggressive the way that they play, because In Canada and the States, like it's like more bully ball. Like if I'm bigger than you, like I'm gonna like show you my height, show you my strength. But here, because everyone's almost the same size, no one's that big of a difference of height or size. Like you could really tell it's heart over height. Like people are so aggressive, the way that they play. Like they're not scared whether you're taller or bigger. So I was like, oh, I was like, that's very, very interesting. Like I was pretty amazed by the way that some of these players could really like go out there and make a difference despite how small they were. And I think I definitely had a hard time because I'm used to playing against guards who are bigger than me. So the way I played was different. But when I'm here, like I had such a hard time dribbling the ball or like bringing up the ball because they're so small. So as soon as like you dribble it, they're right there in front of you stealing the ball. So I would have like so many turnovers. But yeah, I guess like adjusting to that height in the opposite way was kind of hard for me. Like adjusting to people who are smaller and more feisty, kind of get all up in your space. That was like the big adjustment for me.
Okay, but yeah, playing for NU, I'm pretty sure you knew that they had a prominent basketball program, and they had like a winning streak that wasn't broken. So did you come in like with that pressure that you needed to, you were like an integral piece of them, you know, winning, or did you just play like normally? Like how did you enter the school, yeah, with a active winning streak that long? Because not everyone has that, even like in the other countries.
Honestly, I feel like the pressure was more with my teammates. Like I felt like I always had something to prove to them because of course like they're bringing me in from the States, from Canada, so of course they expect like a lot from me. I feel like some days I would show it, other days I definitely would not. So it was just like an ongoing battle. Me personally, like it's not like they would show to me that they thought I was any less, but like of course for me personally, like I just wanted to always be like not let them feel like, oh, it was like kind of a waste getting me as a player. But pressure, honestly, on the team, let's be real, like no, there was none. Like I knew that this team, with or without me, with or without five of their players, honestly, if they only had five players, they would still dominate. Like my rookie year was such a strong team. Like I think that it made it easier because I didn't have as much pressure. I kind of just had to like learn from my seniors and kind of take their advice and compete with them, but I knew that at the end of the day, like they would still carry the team and have no problem winning.
Yeah, but yeah, playing for NU, I'm not sure if I asked Jack this because I got guested here like months before, and like, yeah, you guys are the only two NU players I've had so far. But being in a team that's been winning a lot, like, isn't it sometimes it's hard? There's like days when you, yeah, take it for granted, maybe like at the early juncture of the game, like, oh, it's just we're gonna win anyways because we have the talent. But then how do you guys, maybe you as players and coaches, how do they keep you guys motivated that, you know, we'll win another championship this year, another championship? I mean, it may seem repetitive, like a cycle that just keeps going on, but what's different from NU compared to like these other schools that can't even reach a like 30 game winning streak or like a 20 game winning streak because you guys went over 100?
I think that's just around the culture that NU has built. Like it's so easy to be content with where you are, and I think that's definitely what happened with us this year. When we lost the game, we kind of felt like we always have a chance to come back. But in that game, it was like we still felt that at halftime until there was no time left. But yeah, I think it's the culture of the players. You're not only like representing yourself, but like we have represented women's basketball like in the Philippines as a whole, like internationally. I think the NU team and the culture that they've built over the last 6, 7, 8 years is a big part of what has elevated women's basketball. And I think that it's only right for us to continue to build what our seniors, the players before us built. I think that's what it is for me personally. I think it's never really been about the streak or the amount of games you've won. I think it's just about respecting everything that the people before you have built and wanting to push it further, as much as you can and whatever capabilities that you can, because you realize that like these people have put in so much of their time, their effort into making NU what it is. So it's only right for us to continue it.
Yeah, you mentioned that one game that you were talking about that you guys lost to LaSalle. I mean, I'm from LaSalle. And I got surprised we actually won that game because I was in MOA actually because we had that men's basketball game that day. And yeah, playing against LaSalle and you guys actually didn't lose anymore after that. So how did you guys bounce back from that? I mean, I've heard like Ateneo men's basketball players because they had that long winning streak also. Then they lost to UP in season 84, like elimination round, and then felt they weren't used to the feeling of losing. And what more are you guys? I mean, you've never lost in like your collegiate career. So how did you adjust or adapt to the situation, or you personally, or how did you even help maybe your other teammates that had a difficult time accepting that? And you're saying like, it's just one loss. I mean, we can still win the championship and isn't that like the ultimate goal?
Yeah, I mean, at the start of the season, everyone talks about the streak, but we don't. Like, the thing is, we knew it was there. We knew it was coming. But I think it put more pressure on us in the wrong way than it did in a good way. This year, for this year, maybe not past years, but for this year, that's what I felt. And then when it came to that game afterwards, like, everyone was so emotional, of course. Like, but the managers and everyone were actually, like, really supportive. We didn't know how they would react. But they were actually really supportive about the loss. But for me, it was just like, I never want to feel this again. Like, I felt so embarrassed for all of my, because a lot of my closest friends here in the Philippines are all alumni of NU. So all people who have played for NU who have never lost. So for me, I felt like embarrassed that like, oh, I was part of the team that lost. So I kind of just told my teammates, I was like, it happened, like, we got to get over it, because like, the goal is never the streak, the goal is always the championship. No matter how we get there, the goal is always to win the championship, because that's all that matters, right? So I think it was just, it was like rough few practices till we finally got into the groove and we're like it doesn't matter, it's one loss. Like, imagine how like, if you put it into the scheme of things, like how funny it is that the whole world will celebrate like this one win, our one loss, right? But to us, it shouldn't mean that much compared to everything that we've already accomplished. So let's do everything we can to make people forget about it, you know? It definitely showed in the finals. LaSalle says they played the perfect game for them to beat us on that loss. But I feel like we also played the worst game of our lives. So it does take a perfect game to beat NU, but at the same time, like, there was definitely things we could have done to prevent it, but they earned that win, so that was good for them. But in the finals, goes to show that maybe it wasn't necessarily, like, maybe it could have been a fluke. We could call it a fluke, but yeah, to win by, like, 30-plus points in both games of the finals, I think it was definitely, like, a statement for us. And we definitely had a chip on our shoulder just because that loss was just awful. So we just wanted to make sure that we were able to do everything we could to make a statement, show that NU is still number one.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. You made a statement. I mean, the game was over like in the first half in both those games. But yeah, but you mentioned also NU and the program they made. And then, like, you guys have the stars, as you mentioned, that like in Gilas, a lot of the players are from NU. But how does the team like accept like roles, like specific roles, and thrive in it? Because like, I'm pretty sure you know, like, you also watch the NBA, that there are teams that put all these stars together, but they can't accept being together because of their ego or pride or whatever. But for NU, I don't know if there's that problem. But then if you watch them on the court, like, if you only play like 15 to 20 minutes, even if you're capable to play 30, if you're in another school, 35, like, they accept it. Basta you guys are able to win. So how does that imparted to you guys na consistently that you guys you guys accept it naman?
Yeah, I think that's something that people don't realize when you join NU. Like, everyone thinks, oh, we're just joining NU to be part of a winning program, so I could automatically get like a championship. But there are people who can, almost all of my teammates, I believe that they could be on any team, starting five, make instant impact. But I think that their ability to settle into a role that maybe they don't necessarily think that they should be in, like, just so that it'll help the team, I think that's what any culture is about. Like, always putting the team first, and being willing to compete. Like, there are people that may be in your position, but they're going to compete every day to make sure that you don't think that you deserve it, that I deserve it. So it's always an ongoing competition with everyone on the team. But it's healthy. Like, we always compete to make each other better. And yeah, it really is amazing to see that, like, so many people who are so skilled, so talented, are willing to just do their job for the bigger picture.
Yeah, but and you, like, it's easy to say it, like, some other schools or some other, like, grassroots program, they'd want to be like NU, but then they're not close to it, or they're not even there yet. So how would you, like, tell people, like, the head of a grassroots program or head of, like, a varsity program, since I know you're an, like, advocate of, like, making basketball, like, grow in the women's stratosphere here in the Philippines. So yeah, how would you, like, yeah, advise people that they should, even should, but then, like, NU is, like, a great way to, like, be a starting point in order to be successful here in the Philippines in terms of the younger generation, so that when they get older, you know, it would be great for, like, national team and everything.
Yeah, I think, like, first of all, like, the mentality should always just be never be satisfied, and to always work to be better than the person next to you. You always have to compete and to work on your individual skills. Like, every year, especially in that loss, we saw all of our weaknesses, and I think that's being willing, like, being open to change and being willing to hear the critiques is a big part of becoming a better player. And definitely NU has been able to kind of have that tough love ever since. So just pushing the players to become the best that they can be and not letting them settle for just, like, second, third place. Like, you always want to fight to be that best player, but it doesn't come just overnight. Like, it's constant sacrifice, constant dedication to just wanting to be better. So I think that just that want, that desire to be better than everyone around you makes us the team that we are.
Yeah. How many years do you still have on in NU, like, to play?
Technically, 3.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so technically, because I've only played 2 years in the UAAP, but I'm only for sure going to play this season. That's only my for sure. I don't know about the next 2 years.
There's, like, an age limit, parindo, like, even if you still have 3, you can't play, like...
Oh, yeah, but whatever. I'm only 22, so I still have all 3. Yeah.
Even with
the COVID year, if it was added, I would still have 3.
Oh, did you start college early? Is that why, like,
curious? I started, I don't know what's considered early here, because I started when the day I turned 18 was the day I enrolled in NU.
I think that's early. Okay. Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
Okay, so, yeah, yes, 18, I started early.
So okay, but yeah, being able to play in NU and yeah, you going here, you said in an article before that you went here, like, you know, to have an impact of girls in Philippines, you know, the culture of basketball here in the Philippines to change for the women's basketball. So, like, ever since you got here, would you say that there's a lot that has changed, like, for the better, like, here for women's basketball? And what do you think are the good points and what are the points that they still need to improve? Because there's a lot, like, before, I'm pretty sure you knew that not a lot give importance or the support that funding that you mentioned, like, there was barely anything before, but it's been getting better. So yeah, what do you see as the great points and the, like, points that they must still focus on if they want to be like the likes of Japan, as you mentioned?
Compared 2019 to 2023 is a world of a difference. I came here and I was shook. I was like, what kind of support is this? I was like, nobody cared about women's basketball at all. Fast forward to 2023, you can't scroll on your feed without seeing something about women's basketball, whether that's, like, some program, an event, a team that went overseas. Like, there are so many more opportunities and so many more flashes of women's basketball in the media nowadays. And I think that's the accumulation of everyone willing to kind of push that narrative of women's basketball is on the rise forward. There were only some people, like, are like, a little group of people who would do that in 2019. But then after, everyone started to kind of, like, join in that. Like, they were really, oh, maybe it is on the rise. Let me start supporting in a little way. And I think that little support over time definitely did add up, as we see, like, to be on a cover, to have commercials, to have teams that can go overseas and play in tournaments sponsored by local Filipino brands like Titan, the effort that Titan, Slam, all of those big time companies have put into women's basketball. It's so amazing to see, and I'm so thankful that I have been working with those people ever since, because, you know, like, they definitely believed in the vision before everybody else did. And to see that they're the ones behind us till now is just so amazing to see. And Gulang, what's Gulang? Definitely just, like, for me, like, the main thing really is that pro league. Like, it's so hard to continue to want to play basketball when there's nothing to look forward to after college. Like, yeah, there are one or two teams that could maybe go 3-on-3, where you can join Gilas. But after Gilas, also, what is there?
Right? Yeah, what if there's no tournament?
Yeah, what if there's no tournament for 2 years, like now, right? Yeah. What are you going to look forward to as an athlete, especially athletes who are done with their college career, who have to provide for their families? Like, it comes to the point where basketball is not worth it to pursue. That's what it really comes down to in the Philippines. Mm-hmm. It's not worth it to pursue because there's no support, there's no money. As much as you love the game, there's so many things that you need to provide for in your life. Like, that's just reality. Like, not everyone is able to just play basketball for fun their whole lives, right? So that a pro league is definitely the number one thing we need. And then building, yeah, that grassroots program. Like, we have so many good programs, like, run by Mariana Lopa, like the Girls Got Game or Roja Girls, like, have been working with young girls playing all different kinds of sports, because that's also something that I love to see. Like, not only basketball, like, get girls into sports in general, because sports, honestly, I can't imagine what my life would be like without sports. So mm-hmm. I think that just getting these girls out and building that confidence from a young stage, like, next, in a couple of years down the line, I feel like there'll be, like, hundreds of people who advocate like me, who are willing to speak their mind and not care what other people think. Like, I can definitely see that being, like, but for now, there's only a small few of us, just because it's so hard to put yourself out there. But building these programs, building the confidence in these girls, that's just the number one step in the right direction.
What happened to the pro league, the one you mentioned? Is that still, like, gonna go ongoing? Like, didn't they have, like, something before, like a draft, something like that?
Yeah, that was, like, a one-time, big-time thing, from what I know. I don't know. I heard many different stories about it. I don't know what actually happened, but basically, there are only, like, four technically government teams, right? So there's, like, Army, Navy, Air Force, Coast Guard, something like that. So those teams were already in that tournament. But you can't play for those teams unless you're in those government organizations, right? So that's already four teams gone. And there were only, like, two other teams that you could actually try out for. So that's maybe, what, less than 30 spots.
Yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. And then in those teams, one of those teams didn't even pay for their fees or didn't pay their players. So they got disbanded right before the tournament ended. So that left one actual team who was paying their players and competing. So you can't keep that up. Like, it's not sustainable. So but we see with PVL, like, they've added, what, four or five new teams just this tournament, right? So it's possible. It's not impossible to do it. It's just if people are willing to invest in women's basketball the way they invest in women's volleyball. So it's definitely possible. It's just the logistics of it is really difficult.
Yeah, but yeah, you mentioned that you're one of the, like, proprietors of, like, being expressive of women, like, in sports and basketball, like, getting more exposure, and it's helping a lot when you mentioned with the media exposure you guys are getting and the attention that fans are learning more about your stories and why you guys deserve the same attention as, like, men in sports. So, like, as an athlete, how would you encourage, like, your other athletes that are, like, laid back or, like, they're timid and order to, like, you know, share their advocacy or their love for, like, women's basketball, like, compared to you, who's, like, more expressive? Or also, how do you, like, maybe not to be too like makulit or annoying in terms of it. Like, how do you balance that out? How do you encourage people to do that if they want to?
The thing that I always tell them is the worst people can say to you is no. Nothing's gonna happen if you just sit around and let life pass you by. If you want something, you have to pursue it 100% because you're in charge of the things that come into your life. You're in charge of the opportunities that come forward to you. If you're not willing to put yourself out there to get those opportunities, then you're the only person to blame. I think that when people think about, oh, it may be like, or like, I don't want to be seen like as that person. Just think about it. You're not only doing it for yourself. Like, there are so many people you're going to be able to help out once you step forward and step into that light and put yourself out there. Like, one time, like, just little things, asking for little things helps start that conversation. Just be willing to start a conversation, because there's so many people who are scared to just start it. But once you start that conversation, they're willing to come along with you. So, like, you just never know who you can help out. And I think that's always been like my mentality. Like, I know I can get what I want because I'm willing to speak for it. But how much can I get for others by doing the same? So it's just a collective effort. And I think that that's why, no matter how small, the women's basketball community is so inspiring here in the Philippines, because there's just like certain people who are willing to do so much, even though they get nothing in return. Mm-hmm. And one day, as we can see, like now, it's people are finally getting what they deserve. Jack and Imam finally getting Nike contract, being on a billboard, getting contracts overseas. Like, that didn't come overnight. Like, she's been working towards that for her entire life. Like, there's people who are NU who are only getting their break on V-List now, like, because they've been willing to put themselves out there. People in the community have been giving them those opportunities. And I think that it's just a collective effort. And I hope people join in that community so that more opportunities come.
Yeah. Since you have like a strong opinion on things like these, I'm curious to say, because I'm pretty sure you've heard that some Filipinos would say that we should focus on sports where we could thrive in worldwide, like football or boxing or billiards, or, you know, like where Manny Pacquiao was good, or Efren Bata Reyes, or football, even if we've not been good because we lack the height. So how would you tell people that it's not like wrong, or it's like it's okay to, like, you know, have a 100% belief in basketball, even if you mentioned that we lack the height, like going against Australia, we're really tall women. Like, what's your take on that, and why would you say that people should not be like negative on our like possible ascension or like growth in basketball, maybe women's or men's?
Well, you never know what you're capable of doing until it's done. I'm sure they did not think that the first gold medal was going to come from a woman. Like, there's so many things that people, especially here in the Philippines, so toxic. Like, they're so willing to put you down, like, when they don't see any fruition come, anything coming from what you're doing. But as soon as they see that one little success, they're all hopping on the bandwagon. Mm-hmm. I think that you just have to, like, cut that culture real quick, because it's just so annoying to see. Like, there are so many ways that, or so many avenues that people can be successful. But there are so many people you have to overcome before you do that. Like, there are so many haters, especially in the country, like, for G-list women's and men's. Like, there are so many people who get, like, discouraged because the people around them are, like, not letting them pursue what they want. Even, like, your family members. Like, there's so many family members who wouldn't want their daughters daughters to pursue sports like basketball or boxing, or, you know, sports that are more like for men, because they don't see a future in it. But if that's what they want, they should be able to pursue it despite what people think. And not everyone can. And I think that that's what's sad, because it's so hard to go against the grain, especially here in the Philippines. You get critiqued for every little thing you do. But my advice to those people is just forget about what they say. There's always going to be someone hating. Like, haters are my motivators. That's what I tell them. Like, who cares what people think? Like, are they the ones making the decisions for you? They're not going to have to live with your decisions. You are. So if you want to pursue something, if that's what you believe is meant for you, then do it. Do it wholeheartedly, because there will always be haters, but there's only one person to decide for your life, and that should be you.
Yeah, and then being, yeah, you being vocal and like expressive on like your opinions on sports and women in sports. Did it also, do you think that was also an avenue for you to be like, yeah, active on social media and also be have these opportunities like being on The Game and being a writer for NBA.com and NBA Hype? Like, do you think these are like avenues for you to also like continue growing your brand and getting your voice heard, like compared to like previous years wherein no one even had the opportunity to do that? Like, not like you who now, like with the rise of media, like you're able to do that.
Yeah, I think that like especially making connections, little like talking to photographers you see at your games, or talking to, continuing the conversation after interviews with people, like those little things make a world of a difference, and they open up opportunities for not only myself but for my team. I'm so glad that they're willing to give opportunities to girls in sports, just because I think they don't get a lot of opportunities. So I think that any opportunity is a good opportunity. Honestly, there's sometimes where like interviews become repetitive, or like questions in the media become repetitive, but like you just have to go along with it, because any exposure for women's basketball is good exposure, whether good or bad. Getting our name out there is what we need, and I think everyone should be willing to kind of just do that one interview or talk to that one person, because you never know where it could lead.
How about with like the WNBA? Like, I'm pretty sure you've heard a lot about it, that they've also like tried to make their voice heard, like Sela Subir, Diana Taurasi, Candace Parker. So how about from their side, like what do you think they've been trying to do, like that's been succeeding compared to like the previous WNBA players? Like, why do you think, like, do you think that we could also try to copy them or try to emulate them in order to make the WNBA maybe like their actions in order to grow their league possibly also be here? Because like now the WNBA is bigger compared to what it was like maybe 5 years ago.
I think a big thing is just getting sponsors who share the same vision. It's hard. Getting sponsors is one thing, but to get sponsors who really listen to the players, who listen to the teams, is another thing. And I think that's what they're doing over there. Like, they're getting people who really align with their vision. They're willing to speak their mind and put their needs out to the public so that everyone can see it, and force these people who are in higher positions to make their lives easier, to help them out. Because once you call people out, they're forced to take action. So I'm a big supporter in calling people out if they're not doing what they need to do. And sometimes I get in trouble for it, but at the same time, most of the time, it does work out in our favor. So I think that people here should be more willing to call people out, call especially the people in power. You know, demand what you deserve, because a lot of things go under the table. You know, we forget about certain things, we just brush it aside, but we're just so used to receiving less that once we get a little bit, we feel like it's the entire world. But I think now we have to realize that we deserve this and more. So it's only a matter of time until people agree and deserve the same things.
Yeah. Yeah. Hopefully that happens. I mean, I'm excited also like to support like, yeah, women's basketball more, because now even me, like I'm like a basketball fan since before, but it's only like the last couple of years where I'm like more informed or like aware of the whatever is happening in women's basketball, and like the women's basketball finals in the UAEP was televised, or like the FIBA Asia Cup that was televised. Like before, I don't think you could watch those games on like free TV, so it's been a good head start. But like, yeah, there's still stuff, like for example the World Cup appearance of the women's in football, like, it's not, we don't have like cable rights, like no one got it right for World Cup, so it won't be shown. Like, we need to stream it or something. So
yeah, you have to find illegal streams, stuff like that. Like, yeah. And that team came to support us in Australia, and it was so nice. It's just like the women's sports community as a whole just knows how difficult it is to be a Filipina in sport, and the fact that they can just come together is so nice to see.
Yeah, for sure. But how about you, like you playing basketball, like you mentioned that the league here is not like stable yet. There's no like stable basketball league. Like after NU, like do you plan to play somewhere else, like abroad or what? Because like Gilas, it's like you're only gonna play every couple of months, every couple of years.
Yeah. I mean, if the opportunity comes up, I would love to try it. But it's definitely not something I would pursue long term. I'd probably just be like, if I can play overseas for like 1 or 2 years, just to see how it is for another experience. Because I love just leaving a country and moving to the next one. Like, I feel like that's a habit of mine. But I think it's definitely something to look forward to. Like, I definitely have a long way to go before I can get those opportunities. But hopefully in the future that does come up.
Also, you have other interests, like for your job, like not become a basketball player if you're really good at
track. No, I have no interest at all. I don't know what I want to pursue. I just know that I don't want to pursue basketball long term.
Oh, okay. I thought you had like a vision already. But what your course is like finance, right, or something?
Yeah, financial management, but I'm not going to pursue anything finance. Let's be real. maybe like somewhere in the marketing side, sports journalism, yeah, stuff like that. Like for doing stuff off the court that still helps on the court.
Oh, sports journalism. Yeah. How was that experience being on the game? Like, did you enjoy it? Like, being now that you're also like NBA hype and NBA.com, like, how did you get that opportunity? Because you were just a player for NU. Like, did they contact you during the pandemic?
Yeah.
Like, how was that?
They contacted me during the pandemic. I don't know if it was because they saw me in interviews or like word
Most
of mouth.
Probably, yeah.
But yeah, NBA hype is definitely fun. That was probably like the one I enjoyed the most because it was super low key, like easy to talk to. The game was a little more stressful because I'm not used to like it being, because that's live. The game is live. Yeah. NBA hype is not. So yeah. The game was definitely a little more stressful and definitely like put me to the test. But I'm definitely thankful for that opportunity. Like, goes to show that like these people are really like prepared in what they do, and like I definitely need to work on that, or maybe like sportscasting, like commentating after. Like, I would definitely be open to trying stuff like that.
Yeah. Was it there like an episode before they made you like the host on the game because like Pao was on traffic or something? I remember that.
And I was so stressed out. Like, I was so thankful that my guest was Aaron Black, and like I guess he realized that Paolo wasn't there, so he was like helping me answer. He was like making his questions answers really long. I was like, oh, thank goodness, because I could not do this.
How was that like? Did like when it was like 10 minutes left, 20 minutes left, they were like, oh, can you host?
Yeah, they were putting an earpiece in me. They're like, Camille, you just have to like open the show, like Paolo will come later, but there's nothing we can do. I was like, oh my god, okay. I didn't even have time to prep or anything. Like, I just found out who I was asking. I didn't know any background because I did not follow Morocco. Like, I only follow Sean's team. So it was so stressful, but Aaron Black saved me for sure.
Oh, that was the Morocco segment. How do you ask him the questions if you were like watching?
I think I was just asking him more about like basketball, like as a point guard, like what can you work on? Or I don't know. I don't even remember. I like chose to forget about that. That was so stressful.
Yeah, I got surprised as well because I don't know. It seemed like that you just got shocked that you were in that position. Like,
yes, I did.
Yeah, but yeah. Before we wrap up, Camille, thank you for joining me here again on the podcast. I ask like my guests a couple of questions that I ask everyone. So for the first one, I'm pretty sure you know like the NBA bubble. That's where the players were starting to be more vocal on like social and political issues. And like here in the Philippines, yeah, as we mentioned earlier, people are more like timid or laid back when it comes to these things. But then during the pandemic, when there were issues with the government or whatever social issues we had, people are more vocal. And especially like in the elections, like people will like talk about who they like or their opinions and whatever comes up. So as a athlete and as a sports personality, like what's your opinion on athletes being more vocal on like the social and political issues and like how can they like have an impact with their platform and amplifying their voice to the country?
Oh, I love it. I love when people speak their opinions, even if I don't agree with it. The fact that you're so passionate about what you believe in, that you're willing to tell the world, I think that's such a great quality to see in people. And especially if you know the impact that you have. And especially as athletes nowadays, we have such a big impact on the next generation. Like being a role model to them and showing them that whatever you believe in matters, and if you're willing to fight for it, like do so. I think that's just a great message to put out to the world.
Yeah, that's for sure. I mean, I also agree with it. Like, some people have, like, say, like, you should just play ball or whatever. But I feel like, yeah, you should, yeah, like, you're a citizen of the country as well. And you should be able to, yeah, express your opinions. And like, you never know, like, what you share might make a difference with the followers that you have. Like, they might be aware of that, whatever, like, that stance or the opinion you shared on your social media or whatever. So, yeah, for the next question, if you had the opportunity to have dinner with 5 people, dead or alive, who would you invite?
Dead or alive? Okay, I think mine are all alive, honestly. Like, these are just people I can think of at the top of my head. Okay, cool. Sue Bird. Mm-hmm. Shoot, what's that girl's name? The famous tennis woman.
Serena Williams.
No. Basically, the one that fought for all of the rights of, like, I feel like I should pick someone else since I don't know her name.
Billie Jean King. I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah, her, that I one. Yeah. Her. Okay. Yeah. Because I watch tennis, so I kind of know the names.
Ray Allen, just because he's my favorite player.
Yeah.
Frank Ocean, my favorite artist.
Yeah.
So that's 4. I feel like I want to pick someone dead. I don't know anyone I can think of. Let's just go with another artist. Drake. I'll go with Drake.
Okay. Yeah, that's a great list. You're going to have fun for that night, for sure. A lot of entertainment and learning at the same time. Like, wisdom to learn. So, yeah, for the final question, since, you know, I invite people here on the DVD show, like, through social media or email, since, you know, I want to, like, get to meet people, since I want to be in sports media in the future, like, who would you suggest that would have a great story to tell or just, like, a fun person to talk to about sports, like, current sporting events? Yeah, who would you suggest that I invite here in the pod? Doesn't need to be basketball, so it could be like any sport. But then I'm just focused a lot on basketball and volleyball because that's what I'm familiar with. Then, yeah, any
fun
sport.
Pongay. Pongay is.
Oh yeah, I got her recently.
You got her already? Okay.
Yeah.
She's great. Oh my god, so funny. Yeah. Basketball? Have you talked to Gabe Norwood?
Yeah, but I haven't, like, before, but like 2021, I haven't had him again. So yeah. Good to have him back.
Yeah, I feel like those are fun personalities that I would think of. Who would I want to hear about?
Yeah, someone like even other sports maybe, because I'm not that familiar with the other sports, honestly. Like, I only know like sila EJ Obiena, sila Agatha.
That's fair. Someone from the women's football team.
Oh, okay, I
definitely would want to hear from like their side of things, like how the support has been or how it is kind of like playing with all Philams. Like, I think that'd be interesting.
Yeah, for sure. I should actually try. I haven't actually even like tried getting any of them, so yeah,
because there's something in LaSalle. So.
Who?
I think there's we just met her, Ina.
Oh yeah, I haven't. I interviewed her before, but for the LaSalle, yeah, not for the podcast yet. So yeah, I've talked to her before on Facebook. So yeah, maybe I'll invite her on the podcast. I think she's like willing to go on like podcast. Yeah. So yeah, that's it. Thank you again, Camille, for joining me here on the podcast.
You.
And do you have any final message before you go?
Thank you to everyone who supports. Continue supporting women's basketball because it's worth it. That's it.
Okay. Before you go, is it okay if we take a picture?
Of course.
Okay, I'll take it from here. 1, 2, 3. Wait, this one take. 1, 2, 3. Okay, there. Thank you again,
Thank you.
Camille, for joining me here on the podcast. And yeah, see you soon.
Thank you.